sight, feeling, or circumstances. We're here because you are with your people where two or three are gathered together. So we look to you, Father. We want to learn from your word, and we want what we hear to be translated into faith, deeds, and actions. And we ask for this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've got a title here. We're going to talk about faith today. And we're taking this from the book of Habakkuk. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. And of course, we're taking this from one of the minor prophets, Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Very often this verse is quoted, the latter part, "the just shall live by faith," or "his faith." But we need often to take it in its context, because he says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him." So he raises first the problem human nature has, pride. And then he says, "The just shall live by his faith." So he raises that up for a reason, of which we're going to look at today and talk on. You see, prophet is very aware that pride is to be found everywhere. Pride is to be found with the rich, with the poor. Whatever your life, your circumstances, however you've been brought up, whatever it is, pride is a problem. And the spirit of pride will dwell in any place, any situation. Doesn't matter what your circumstances is or how rich and comfortable you are, pride will be there. And God has to provide for our humanity. Our sinful natures, our whole being, there has to be a provision. It has to be covered. And that is why it says that the just shall live by faith. We have to be justified, given that right standing, on the basis of believing. No other way other than believing. And this is why God constantly removes and delivers us from the hindrances to our faith in believing. Why? Because we are being saved. We are being brought out from this world. And so how we hear is absolutely paramount. And this is why I encourage you, saints, to be in prayer in the Spirit before you listen to the Word of God preached, and to always have a note, pad, and pencil to jot down anything that speaks to you. Why? Because it's on the basis of how you hear. Because God is putting down that pride that will hinder you from hearing. He is dealing with pride each day that stops us hearing the voice and the Spirit of God in the heart. You see, pride and God cannot dwell in the heart. The heart is you. It is the seat of the emotions. It is the person. And the Bible tells us that out of the heart are evils and murder. We do not know our hearts. And this is why we have to be so diligent with regard to how we hear the parable of the sower. When you get a real understanding of what God thinks about pride, you will deal with it. You will make yourself available and allow God to deal with it. Sometimes it's painful. It's painful to admit you got it wrong. It's painful at times to admit we've missed the mark. But these are the ways in which God deals with this so that we can receive the engrafted word of God into our hearts and lives, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the just live by faith, or his faithfulness. We know that salvation is a gift given from God, not us. It's not our works that justify us. It is our faith, our belief in God, his promises, that gives us that right standing before him. In other words, fellowship. Relationship, my hearing from God, my being touched from him, being made whole in mind, body, and spirit. And my faith will produce the works that glorify his name, and not me doing it. You see, there's the difference. Faith is a contrast to pride, because pride always looks to self. Faith looks to God. And there's the difference. You keep putting yourself first, you are raising that pride against God. And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace, mercy to the humble. And to walk by faith, you have to be just. We know what we mean by this, that we have been placed as right before God. We have had imputed to us his righteousness. As he was righteous and right before his Father, raised up from the dead, he has that right standing in God's presence, so that is imputed to us. And whatever Jesus asks the Father on your behalf, the Father does not question it, but gives it to his Son. And he in return gives it to you. That is how you were saved. I was saved. In other words, it means you have been approved before God. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what your family says about you or whatever it is. You have been approved by God. And all of that was implemented and achieved at Calvary before the foundation of the world. God calls the elect, and he makes it effectual. So it's not only in his calling, but he, in his calling, through his decrees, makes it effective by the power of his Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that now works in you and I. And this is why I say constantly, the work that God does in us is miraculous. The world cannot do this. Your doctors cannot do this. Your psychiatrist cannot do this. Your credit card that you rely upon cannot do this. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. God provides. I learnt this one yesterday, brothers and sisters. Sometimes to teach these messages, God takes me through a trial. And yesterday, I was cutting the nails on my feet and the little toe at the end. I cut it very deep. And the next thing I know is, wow, this blood that's gushing out. And I thought, wow, we've got a problem here. And so you get lots and lots of cloths, tissue, whatever. And after about 5 minutes, I looked at it and it was literally pumping out, pouring. I haven't seen blood like that for a long time. And I thought, I've got a problem here. And I thought, my mind said, you're on your own. You probably need to go to A&E. What are you going to do? I knew what to do. I immediately turned to God who has provided in Jesus' name. And I looked to him and I said, Father, I turn to you now in this trial. I'm bleeding heavily. And the next thing I know is, out of my mouth comes, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and love not their lives even unto death. And I started to quote this out loud to the powers of darkness, working that fear in my mind. What are you going to do? You are on your own. You need help. You can't even drive to the A&E like that. And I started to sing the blood songs that we have, started to sing before him, praising him, worshipping him. And after about 10, 15 minutes, suddenly it stopped. God provided. You have to understand God's ways, not the ways of your mind, your logic, because that is where the devil is speaking. The devil was speaking, but I went to the sword of the Spirit. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I used the sword against the powers of darkness, waging war with my mind. And I knew I had broken through because the enemy let go of his hold. And I knew I was touching God and he was touching me. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't know what is round the corner. We don't know what we face each day. But you have to be ready with that sword that God has given us. This is how Jesus overcame the devil in the wilderness. He said, it is written. And the enemy eventually has to let go. He never normally lets go straight away. And God allows him to do that because he's waiting to watch and see our reaction and what we are going to do. God is faithful. And praise God, all I care about is to give him the glory and to give a positive testimony that God is faithful to his word. But the provision comes from him. Our faith to believe comes from him. and we simply make that stand and not retract. You see, the enemy wanted through fear to get me to retract and go back. But the word of God says there's no fear in the perfect love of God. And that love gives us that standing, that boldness in the presence of Almighty God. Of course, it all looks negative, hopeless in the natural. But the just shall live by his faith. You see, brothers and sisters, God showed me, I believe, something after this trial. And you probably had this given to you, so I'm no special. We're all the same. But after that trial and everything calms down and praise and thank the Lord impressed to me, I must always see my image in you. And I said, praise God, that is all that matters, that Christ sees his image in each of us. And how is that achieved? By simply believing. Let's look at some scriptures. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18? We know this very well, these two chapters, how the apostle opens up the wisdom and mind of God, how it's revealed. He's clearly revealing that flesh and blood does not show this. And this is why the intellects of the world, the academics, get so angry over all of this. Because he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He says, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And God knows how to do that. God knows how to work that shame. And we at times who profess Christ as Lord and Saviour, he shamed us because we put more of our faith and trust in the academics than we have in God's word and those whom God calls. We've all done it. And you find at the end of it, you're ashamed. Because we find that God works in not what you think. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And that offends those with pride. We have to learn the ways of God and the ways he works in your life and my life. It never makes any sense. The walk of faith never does. So never try and work it out logically, but just trust him with that simple, childlike faith that God is on the throne. He knows what he's doing. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faith. So righteousness, what does this mean? I've already opened up with it. You have been made right before God. That is the gift of God. And so he says, that is revealed to you faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faith. your right standing, your access to the promises of God is revealed to you from faith to faith. And this is why we preach faith so much in this assembly for the deeper life. Why? Because it's being revealed to you. It is the gift of God, your salvation, your inheritance, and what he has given. Why do we doubt? Because a trial comes along. Count it all joy in the trials. That's what I was doing yesterday. I started singing before him, praising him, singing in the blood songs, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. Because nothing can cover the bloodline. The blood of Jesus defeated Satan and every demon on the cross. And he's given you that authority in which to declare that and speak that and sing about it and get excited about it. That's what makes overcomers out of us. Why is it in the book of Revelation? They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. I have seen my protection and deliverance over and over again, just speaking that out and watching the enemy put to flight. It's because we don't believe. What does Hebrews 10:38 tell us? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Here it is. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them. We are not of those who draw back to perdition. Notice what you go back to, judgment, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Every day we're being saved. We are saved and being saved so that we don't go back to perdition, be judged with the world. That is ultimately what it is. What does Galatians 3:11 say to us? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. There you are, quoting Habakkuk all the time, that little minor prophet. You see, some live by works. Some live just by devotion. Some live just purely for feelings. Some live for circumstances. And they all try and wrap religion around it and make it look pious and so on. But it's not believing. That's why I say so often the busiest Christians are the least spiritual. God has sanctified us, separated us unto himself. And even that is a work of grace. And so that just are made right. They are vindicated. They are declared before the powers of darkness and before Satan. Satan had to release your soul. For he is the God of this world, a robber and a thief and a murderer. And he had to release you and I. And God vindicated And not only are we made right and just, but we're also corrected, worked upon, educated. And this is where we get this idea of God being a just judge. Everything that God judges is just and right. He doesn't get it wrong, and he will not get it wrong on that day of the great judgment, when the great book is opened. What does Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 tell us? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. It says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." We sing it. That's what he is, as judge. Perfect in every way. And that's why God can judge righteously over us, and we can just rest in assurance on that. What does Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 1 tell us? Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 1. "Righteous are you, O Lord. When I plead with you, you let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously?" So there we are. The prophet has access to talk with God and say, "Lord, why does it appear the ungodly prosper? They're happy. Look what they do. They're free. They can do what they want to do, go wherever they want to go." But as we've always said, they're only free to choose which way to sin. It's a burden to him, and he's talking it out with God. And God doesn't reject him. He says, "I am just. I am the judge. And their day is coming." And sometimes we feel like that. I felt like it sometimes. I felt like I've really been hard done by here. But I go to God, who's the right to judge. And soon that peace is there. And you know that what God is doing within you is an eternal work that's going to give you a standing in eternity with him. They're not going to have that. What does Psalm 11 and verse 7 say? Psalm 11 and verse 7. "For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, his countenance beholds the upright." So there's a countenance, there is an appearance upon those who are righteous, who love righteousness. And the Bible is just completely filled with all of this. Psalm 129 tells us that God will judge. Psalm 129 and verse 4, verse 4 of 129. "The Lord is righteous, he has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked." So he's cut in pieces those cords. And what are cords? Cords manipulate, they control, they tie. And he cuts the lot. And finally, 145, Psalm 145. And verse 17 to 21, it says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. That's what we're to do. When you call on God, you need help, it must always be in truth. What does it mean? You are utterly, completely open and honest with him. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name for ever and ever. This is why God allows our enemies. This is why God sometimes allows them for a season to buffet us and so on. Because God is teaching us right from wrong. When you begin to see the wicked and how they work, and particularly when they call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, how devious and manipulative they are and so on. Why we have them even in our own family. Why is God allowing that for a season? Because he's teaching you from right, what is right and what is wrong. You have to be taught. You're not seeing it yet. That's why. And when you do see it, you realize then the love and grace of mercy of God, how he preserves and keeps me. Because we've all been in vulnerable situations where we could have been drawn in. Hook, line, sinker. I have. And I have seen how God has used even my enemies in which to teach me right from wrong, to give me discernment, to trust him, and to see the preservation of the Lord. It's all things working together for good. Romans 8:28. And how we see it every day in our lives. But we have to be called, preserved, kept. We have to be made right, given that right standing in which to experience and see these things. And in that right time, God has a way of opening our minds and hearts to these things. And we see them in a completely different light. And that's why to stay with faith gives you that hope of salvation, but also the blessings that come with faith and justification. This is why we preach a whole message. We preach your inheritance you can receive even in this life. Not when you get into glory, which most preach today. Every act of faith and seeing the mighty hand of God at work is a sign of your inheritance. He's sharing and giving with you now even in this life. The problem is you are not seeing your inheritance. And do you know why? Because you're not found in the Word of God and prayer as you should be. The Word of God is a revelation to what God has given you in Jesus Christ. And we have to stay with the Word, the sword, because pride stops those promises from penetrating your heart and possessing them and living them and walking in them. Your pride still makes you independent of God. I'm going to do my own thing. I want to do what I want to do. You can't. You have been brought with a price. God's protecting you from yourself, which is your worst enemy. I think most of the world have this problem of narcissism. It's self-motivated, and left to yourself, it will destroy you. And this is why God intervenes in his mercy and grace. I praise and thank him for the way he intervenes, preserves and keeps me. Left to my own self, it will be destruction. There are times I've said in situations or when I'm walking with God, Lord, I feel so vulnerable, weak. I call on your grace and mercy to help me, to turn away, to make the right choice, the right decision, to obey you. It's yielding to the Spirit as the cross does its work. I don't know how it's done. I don't know how God gives me a changed mind, but that's what salvation is. Salvation is having a changed mind. And he's working that each day, changing our mind, what we think, and experiencing the mind of Christ in that situation. You have to want that. You have to ask for that, desire for that. Oh yes, it'll hurt your pride. It'll deal with it. But then afterwards you see God made the right choice. He knows all things. He knows me better than I know myself. And that's the wonderful blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ. All that was in Christ is imparted to us. And let's finally read from the Gospel of John as we wrap this up in John chapter 1 verse 16. John chapter 1 and verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Absolutely mind-boggling. Of his fullness. What is in Christ, was in Christ, is in Christ, we have received, not just a partial portion or a bit, of his fullness. Let that be your confession until you walk in it. For his glory. The just shall live by his faith. That's what we've been talking about, and we thank the Lord for this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that we can see why the enemy fights like he does. He doesn't want the overcomers inheriting their inheritance, but we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome because you first loved us. We overcome because you provide in your Son, Jesus Christ. God has not called us to be doing, but to be before you, to have that standing in your presence, which you have given to us in your grace and mercy. Father, preserve, keep, and bless my brothers and sisters. Always keep them from the evil one, from those temptations, those weaknesses that are in our lives. Continue to give your angels charge over them. May they know the blessings and provisions of Psalm 91. Father, may they walk in your ways, in your commandments. May they be sanctified, separated, preserved from this world and the spirit of this age. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Father.